It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Letters About Literature is a reading and writing contest for students in grades 4th through 12th. Students read a book, a poem, or a speech, and they write to the author about what the book means to them. The letters are then submitted and judged on the state level, and winners can even go on to the national contest. Josie Boyle is the first place winner in Iowa for grades 4 through 6 this year. She's a 5th grader at Drexler Middle School in Farley, and she wrote her letter to J.K. Rowling.
Dear J.K. Rowling, I read the entire Harry Potter series during the summer of 2013, the same time that I watched my beloved grandfather lose his life after a 10-month-long battle with esophageal cancer. It ripped me to pieces seeing my grandma, parents, aunts, uncles, and cousins grieve so intensely over his death. I remember seeing them try to hold back their tears for my brothers and me, although the red splashy spots on their faces were hard to ignore. I remember watching my grandpa lay in a bed of flowers, motionless, in an endless sleep. I remember kneeling in front of his coffin, head bent. I remember. It seems like just yesterday that I read your books. The blow of grandpa's death was passing, but the grief was still fresh in my heart. My family had not yet moved on, and I was still trapped in the cage of sorrow. As I opened your first book in the series, I felt an instant connection between Harry and myself. His parents were killed by the Dark Wizard Voldemort when he was just 1 year old. He was devastated by his parents' death. It seemed that the grief both Harry and I felt over the loss of people we love united us. Hermione Granger, one of Harry's best friends, once said, "Fear of the name only increases fear of the thing itself." She, of course, was referring to Voldemort, as many people were too terrified to speak his name out of fear of his wickedness. However, when I think about this statement and relate it to my life, that thing Hermione referred to is cancer. I admit it, cancer scares me. As the word forms on my lips, a rush of terror always runs up my spine. Not just my grandfather, but many people I know and love are living with or have been claimed by cancer. Just as every character in this series feared Voldemort, I fear cancer. I will never forget the many hours I spent snug in my bed reading, reading, and reading your books. I was able to escape the grief of the world and dive into one of my own creation, my imagination. Your books were the building blocks of my castle, a castle in my head that no one could take away or take down. They opened my mind to new, positive thoughts. I found a key to open the cage of heartache I was trapped inside of. Your books also gave me hope, hope that my grandpa wasn't truly gone. I know he is in our hearts and lives there every day. Now, when my family sees an especially bright and beautiful sunset, we all hurry to the window to admire its color. Grandpa painted that, we say. Now, I remember my grandpa's love for farming. I remember countless tractor rides with him by my side. I remember a soft green chair he would sit in after a long day's work. I remember climbing in it with him and feeling safe inside his arms. And I remember the books that helped me through this time. I'll always remember your J.K. Rowling. With love and admiration, Josie Boyle.
Josie, thank you so much for sharing your letter with us. When your teacher invited you to write a letter to an author, did you know right away who you wanted to write to?
Not exactly. I remember thinking about it for a couple of days and looking at the authors and their backgrounds, and then I finally thought that, yeah, I should definitely do J.K. Rowling.
And when you were reading the books, did you draw that connection in your mind between cancer and Lord Voldemort, or was that something that came in the writing of the letter for you?
I think it was more in the letter, because I was just thinking deeply about the books that I wrote, and I just kind of clicked, and I guess it was a little bit while I was reading, too.
Well,
I guess in both.
Yeah, I'm curious. I mean, when you were writing the letter and you sort of had that epiphany and that came to you, did that help you through your process of grief?
I guess it did a little bit, because it just kind of made me think of the happy times we had too, and not necessarily the bad things.
Now, I know you submitted the letter to the contest. Did you also send it to J.K. Rowling?
No, I didn't.
Oh, you should! You absolutely should! All right, there's my advice for the day. Now, after being a part of this, and of course also being the first place winner in Iowa for the contest, which is such a wonderful honor, does this change how you read books after the fact?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, Because now what I do is I think about it, like, after I'm done reading, I'll stop and think about it again and think, hey, maybe I could do a contest on this too, or think about how it connects to my life.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, definitely.
So what have you been reading lately?
Lately, I have been reading the Maze Runner series.
I've heard very good things about that. It's on my list. Well, what does it mean to you to be the first place winner in Iowa?
Oh, it's more than I ever thought, because I almost didn't enter in the first place thinking it's no use. There are so many entries. And then, well, here I am. It just means so much because I would like to have a career in writing when I get older. So this kind of boosts my confidence.
Absolutely. Well, Josie, thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Josie Boyle is a sixth grader at Drexler Middle School in Farley, Iowa. She is the level one winner in Iowa this year, and her letter received national consideration. Hannah Huang is the level two winner. She is an eighth grader in Ames, Iowa, and this is her letter.
Dear Caitlin Alafranca and Martin Gonda, the chaos theory talks about how small fluctuations in a complicated interconnected system, like weather, can end up causing startling consequences. It's often illustrated by the butterfly effect, how something as insignificant as a butterfly fluttering its wings might eventually cause a hurricane in a different part of the world. I'm no heroic butterfly. I'm a very normal girl. I go to school, do my homework, socialize with friends, and read a lot. One of the books I happened to read was your collaborative memoir, I Will Always Write Back, the story of two pen pals, one in a suburban Pennsylvania town, the other in the slums of Zimbabwe. I Will Always Write Back demonstrates the chaos theory perfectly, how small actions and choices can lead to astonishing results. Caitlin, your chapters were like reading a page out of my own life story. Just like what I am right now, you began as an ordinary American girl. At 12 years old, when you chose to have a pen pal from Zimbabwe, you said, "I didn't know it then. How could I have? But that moment would change my life." From a simple class assignment came a friendship that bridged an ocean and changed both of your lives. But what would have happened if you hadn't chosen Zimbabwe? What if Martin hadn't been the top student in his class, therefore earning the honor of being your pen pal? You wouldn't have learned about what life was like outside of a first world country. A typical 12-year-old American girl, far more interested in what I should wear to school than what I might learn there, is how you described yourself before your friendship with Martin. And Martin, instead of being able to attend an American university, would probably still be mired in Zimbabwe. Small choices lead to unimaginable consequences that one couldn't have dreamed of at the time of the decision. And that was when I had my epiphany. I used to think that my daily actions and choices had no real effect on the world at large. I mean, what could a young girl possibly do to change the world? But after reading this book, I realized that I am still able to have an impact on the small part of the world that I interact with. With this in mind, I started to volunteer my time with the preschoolers at church and my local food pantry. Teaching children a new word, showing them how to use scissors, giving out food that would have otherwise gone to waste, seeing the smiles break out when I said, "Take as many tomatoes as you want." These are small things, but I hope that they've affected at least a few people's lives. Martin, you changed Caitlin's life too. It might seem like Caitlin was doing all the giving and you were doing all the taking, but you gave Caitlin something valuable too. Through your letters, you opened her eyes and mine as well by showing what life is like in countries that are not as lucky as America. Your family's only furniture was a single mattress, and your house was one room shared with another family. I couldn't even imagine living in such cramped quarters. And I used to think that my own personal bedroom, equipped with a desk, bed, and a closet filled with clothes, was sparse and small. As I continued to read, each chapter of yours increased my awareness of how naive I was. For example, I expected 3 fresh meals served up to me every day. If my mother was out and I had to make my own dinner, I would gripe about it incessantly, even with a refrigerator fully stocked and at my disposal. When I read about your family struggling even to buy satza, the cornmeal mush that was your daily subsistence, I felt ashamed of myself. And while I had 3 pairs of boots and a different pair of sneakers allotted for running, tennis, PE, and wearing to school, I was concerned with their color, style, and brand. I realized how superficial things they were to be concerned with when I found out that you didn't even own a single pair of shoes. There are things in life that seem so trivial that it's easy to forget how blessed and lucky I am to have them. I used to think of good food, a warm bed, and a roof over my head as some sort of inalienable right. I've since realized how mistaken I was in this notion after reading about what your life was like in Zimbabwe. It makes me all the more grateful for what I have. And when I say that I'm thankful for something at Thanksgiving, or even on a regular day, I really truly mean it now. And finally, I Will Always Write Back taught me how to be a better friend. Both of you went above and beyond the call of duty to sustain your friendship. Caitlin, you selflessly sent your babysitting money to Martin so he could stay in school. And Martin, you are determined to continue writing to Caitlin after your school stopped financing the cost of your correspondence, even carrying luggage for travelers just to scrape together the money needed to buy the stamps to put on the envelope. You both showed me that it is worth every little bit of effort expended to keep a friendship going. Now, I strive to emulate that type of admirable loyalty in my friendships as well. Over winter break, I emailed friends that I hadn't communicated with in years, discovering in the process that we still remember the same treasured memories and inside jokes. And I really try my best now to look beyond the surface of an individual. The old me used to write people off if they weren't made of the same mold I was, but now I have become friends with individuals of different ages, genders, and personalities. Your book showed me that inside every person, no matter how different compared to me, is the potential for a life-altering friendship. Caitlin and Martin, you have taught me to open my eyes to the world around me and ultimately become a better person. Your unlikely friendship showed me how two people with very different nationalities, beliefs, cultures, and aspirations can change each other's lives. The world suddenly becomes a more vivid place when we recognize contrasts and embrace them. That is, after all, what makes color TV so much better than black and white. Both of you have helped me rethink the place I hold in this world and what results from the smallest of actions. I have much to thank you for. I dare say your friendship, a single butterfly flapping in the air, has caused a small tempest elsewhere in the hearts and minds of your readers. With gratitude, Hannah Huang.
That's Hannah Huang reading from her letter about literature. She was the Iowa winner of the Level 2 category, and her letter was considered nationally, just a handful of letters considered for the national award. And Hannah, you were reading about the book I Will Always Write Back. Has this process, writing these letters, has it changed how you read?
Yeah, definitely, because now when I read, I find myself having conversations with the author in my head because I did that with the letter, and now I just do it automatically when I'm reading other books as well.
Interesting. So do you think that that kind of enhances the experience of the book?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Well, Hannah, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Oh, yes, it was a pleasure.
That's Hannah Huang of Ames Middle School. She was the Level 2 winner in Iowa this year. And with me now is Helen Dagley. She's coordinator for the Iowa Center of the Book, which oversees the contest in Iowa. Hello, Helen.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here. We only have a couple of minutes because we spend so much time listening to those wonderful letters. But this was your first year actually digging in and judging the letters, right?
Yes, actually, I came on board at the end of October when my predecessor retired. And there's a number of programs that we administer for the Center for the Book. But this is the most, so far, it has been extremely rewarding for me and labor-intensive, time-intensive as well, because it represents a lot of letters and absolute wonderful intent on all of them. We're just very, very pleased to have this kind of outcome every year from Iowa, which is relatively small in the scheme of things.
Right. About how many letters are submitted in Iowa?
This year we had almost 1,900.
Wow.
And it has remained constant, I guess, every year since we became part of the program.
So I'm curious, since this was your first year reading many, many, many of these letters, what was your reaction? How did you feel reading them?
Oh, they're life-affirming, I would say, is a big thing. I mean, there's so much negativity in the world at large, always, but particularly it seems like right now that this is almost like an antidote. When you read these, it brings home, you know, in all of us, you know, our basic human seeing of the world without agendas or whatever. It brings in a really affirming way.
So it's not an overstatement to say it really affirms your faith in humanity to read these letters by kids.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
And apparently, talking to both Hannah and Josie, it's a transformative experience for the kids who write the letters, too. How do you feel about that?
Yes, yes. Well, because part of the intent of the program is to have them bring it to themselves, to incidents in their own life or how they feel about a certain circumstance that's happening to them, that, you know, connects those things and brings out an outpouring, if you will, of not only creativity, but really, really deep seeing of life and bringing it back to their own situation as well.
And also makes them more thoughtful readers for the future.
Yes, yes. I don't think this is a one-time deal for any of them. I think it really is transformative. You know, how they see this is how they'll see things in the future when they read. And it will come back to them in their daily lives in some way. It connects that way as well.
Well, Helen, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Helen Dagley is coordinator for the Iowa Center of the Book. They oversee the Letters About Literature contest in Iowa, which, of course, is a nationwide contest where young people write a letter to the author of a book that means a lot to them. We've been talking about children's literature all this hour. Talk of Iowa is produced by Emily Woodbury, Catherine Perkins, Dennis Reese, Lindsay Moon, and Claire Roth. Our intern is Lauren Knutson. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.